Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Ray, we thank you for that's the co-host here. And now we're joined by Steve Paisley, Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
What's on your mind, Steve, right now?
What's on my mind?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a World Series coming up.
I'm
excited about that.
Hey, I watched the end of the game last night between the Toronto Blue Jays, Canada's team.
Yeah.
And the
Seattle Mariners.
And that was, if you want drama, wait till you get to the
seventh
game of a, in this case, a pennant.
And the seventh inning of the seventh game.
Yeah. I mean, it was a seventh inning of the seventh game in a, to decide who goes to the World Series against the Dodgers.
It'll be the first time these two teams have ever met in the World Series.
Toronto and the Dodgers.
Dodgers are defending champions. Toronto hasn't been there since 1993.
Talk about a drought. That's 32 years.
Yeah. Well, it's not like the Cubs exactly.
Did they beat the Braves that year, or the Braves beat them, the Atlanta Braves?
That was.
You remember that, Ray? That was in the Braves were in their heyday with the
Blue Jays won in '92 versus the Braves, and in '93 versus the Phillies.
Oh, they won two World Series.
What I'm reading.
Okay, I remember the Braves had Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, and Greg Maddux.
What a lineup!
Oh my goodness.
And they won the their division and went to the world. They won World Series. Many think that was the most underachieving team in history because they should have won three or four World Series at least.
Given that
trio of pitchers.
Oh
right
my goodness!
There.
I heard something that just made me amazed how smart some of these guys are. Glavine, his catcher was talking. Right?
Tom Glavine, the pitcher. Yeah.
His catcher, maybe it was Smoltz. It's one of the three.
John Smoltz.
One of the three pitchers. And the catcher was talking, and they had decided before the game never to throw a pitch to a certain batter on the inside. Never do it because that's your death for a pitcher. So they were pitching him outside until one at bat. And Smoltz, I think it was, told the catcher inside. And he shook him off. No, he just insisted inside. So the catcher said, okay. And the guy hit a home run off of him. And after the game, the catcher's going, what in the world? We said we weren't going to do that. He said, they have a good team. We're going to meet them in the playoffs. And he'll remember that pitch. And I'm going to get him out on it. And he did.
Oh, he's thinking that far ahead.
Yeah. And he.
That's how I do. It's kind of, you have to view life that way.
Yeah.
Always be thinking one step ahead.
You wrote a paper on it.
That's right. It was a great article. I quoted you, but I didn't give you credit.
It's kind of like that's where John Smoltz probably got his idea.
Sure, it was.
You know, to say that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Anyway, the World Series will.
When's it start?
It starts on October 24th and 25th. I love the way that this the MLB put an article up. It says that the first two games will begin at Rogers Center on October 24th and 25th, respectively. As if it wasn't going to be one after the other order. I don't know.
The World Series used to be over in October.
Well, because this is going to go. This could go.
This is going to November. Am I right?
The game 7 would be on November 1 if necessary.
Okay. All right. Don't you remember
Ray,
you remember Reggie Jackson was called Mr. October?
Right. In that one game, hit three home runs. I mean, unbelievable. Now, the Dodgers are going to be, I'm not enough of a fan to know, so I'm just asking curiosity. Dodgers are going to be pretty heavy favorites in this series. Is that right?
I would hate to bet against or to root against a team with Shohei Ohtani on it.
Oh,
that guy's something else.
The Los Angeles Dodgers will be favored. They swept the Milwaukee Brewers. They are defending world champions, and they are loaded. Okay, and why, you ask? Because they have the money.
Yeah.
And they bought the most good players, and so they're highly favored. I'm torn right here. Of course, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
You're a National League.
Yeah, I grew up. You listened to the Cardinals on AM radio, transistor radio. I go back to – I'm a baby boomer, go back to the transistor radio days. So I grew up listening to the St. Louis Cardinals on radio, and so that's how I've developed a lifelong following of that franchise, but haven't followed them so much the last 10 years. There's only so much stuff you can put in your head.
Right. Yeah, and only so many hours in the day. You've got grandkids.
Right, grandkids, and I have I follow college sports. So my brain was 10 years ago was going tilt.
Yeah.
You know, tilt. You can't can no longer spend time keeping up with the Cardinals like you used to could. But anyway, but I love baseball and Major League Baseball. But the Dodgers are like one of the, you know, blue bloods of of professional sports, quite frankly. Okay, I know what I was going to say. I diverted. I'm torn because I'm an American, so I would like an American team to win the World Series. But on the other hand, I'm pulling for the underdog because Toronto is probably halfway down the list of money in the major leagues, and here they are competing with the big boys, so to speak. So they're kind of the underdog. So I'm kind of torn on that one, but go ahead.
I was just going to say,
what does the Bible have to say about this? Ed, do you know what the Bible says about this?
I'm afraid. I'm afraid to look see what the Bible has to say about watching too much sports. No, I'm probably going to root for the Blue Jays because I'm basically an American League fan because I'm a Red Sox fan. So it's the opposite of you.
Yeah. You grew up a Red Sox fan.
So I generally root for the American League, but they're also underdogs. I like an underdog.
Underdog story, yeah.
The Bible only mentions baseball once.
Yeah, is that right?
Genesis 1:1 in the big inning.
In the big inning.
In the big
Ray,
inning.
Come on.
You've not heard that one, Ray?
That's great.
That's recycled. I love it. That's recycled.
Oldie but a goodie.
In the big inning. I do know that what's the what's Freeman's first name? The first baseman for the Dodgers. I've heard his testimony. He's a Christian. He used to play for the Braves. He's Freeman's his last name. I'm sorry, I can't remember his first name.
That's what you're talking about,
Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman. He is a strong believer. Yeah. And Kershaw.
Clayton
Kershaw for the Dodgers. Because he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
On the first ballot. He's a left-handed pitcher for the Dodgers. The best left-handed pitcher in the history of baseball.
Randy Johnson?
Well, he'd be right there with him. Kershaw is his last name. Strong believer. In fact, this year when they had Gay Pride Day at
they were all supposed to wear rainbow hats?
At the Dodger Stadium?
Yeah.
He wore a rainbow and said something to the effect, this is God had the idea first. Something like that. I don't remember exactly what he
said.
What he's saying was, I'm not going to use the rainbow to celebrate LGBTQ because it's God's rainbow, and that's what so it makes me pull for him even more. You know,
we've been hearing athletes say, I want to give God the glory, and then they go on to talk about the game. For a long time we've been hearing that, but of late I seem to be hearing in college and some in the pros of more explicit testimonies. I heard one of the college players say that he was going to glorify God no matter if they win or they lose.
Yeah. Vanderbilt quarterback.
I don't know if we played it or not in here.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Huh?
Pavi?
How do you pronounce his?
Pavi. I don't remember his first name.
Diego
Pavi.
Yeah. He's some kind of
superhero name.
Yeah, right?
Ladies and gentlemen.
And he was the one that he
in
did.
This corner.
He said he wanted to chase God.
Yes, that's what he said. I wanted to chase God because
everybody should chase God.
He said he had some losses, and he said I just felt like God was saying, "You've got the cart before the horse, and you need to chase God instead of chasing wins." And now he's got his life in the right direction, and now he's getting some wins.
Yeah.
Is that the way it works?
It worked that way for him.
I'm saying, well, that's what he said.
He beat LSU on Saturday, so that means something.
So the evidence is there.
There it is. There's the proof right there, friend.
God will help you win if you do a few things.
God will take your side.
What does God do with a Christian player on the LSU team, though?
I guess he's not chasing God hard enough.
Work on your defense.
That's right.
Yes,
it just is a completely works oriented.
Brian Kelly, the coach of LSU, is wondering where is God right now.
I know.
He's back at Notre Dame. Where
back
you left?
Back at Notre Dame.
I just put that one on a tee for you, didn't I? Oh my goodness gracious! I'll say real quickly, Kershaw, the pitcher I was talking about for the Dodgers. By the way, is he hurt or is he pitching right now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't been following.
Clayton Kershaw is his name, a devout Christian, if you look up on Wikipedia. What happened was they had 2025 Pride Night in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium. But Kershaw, it says, this is Wikipedia, quote, sparked further controversy by writing the Bible verse Genesis 9:12-16 on his pride-themed Dodgers hat, a passage that describes the rainbow as a covenant sign from God, not a symbol of the LGBTQ community.
That's
you know,
bold.
To do that, especially to do that in Los Angeles, is bold.
And if he hadn't been Clayton Kershaw, if he had been some rookie,
he'd have been kicked off the team.
He might have been sent down.
Right. Or fined or something.
Yeah.
But Kershaw, as I say, so see if he's going to pitch in the World Series, Steve, if you don't.
I'll look it up.
Ed, do it, and Steve can move on to. But anyway, I do know there are two strong believers on, maybe more, on Los Angeles, but I don't know about.
The Dodgers themselves were taken to task this last week for sponsoring an award show by a gay rights group that honored Will, the transgender swimmer that swam against Riley.
Thomas?
Will Thomas.
Leah,
who says he's Leah.
Right. They honored, this gay group honored him, and the Dodgers were title sponsors of that.
I remember hearing about that.
Game. So they're still in the.
Is Kershaw pitching in the World Series? You don't know.
He says he has not yet confirmed whether he will be healthy enough to participate in the World Series, as he is still recovering from a bone spur in his big toe that sidelined him for the postseason.
Now, if Clemens can pitch with a bloody ankle,
that wasn't Roger Clemens.
Yeah, be careful, Steve.
Who was it?
It was
you just committed baseball blasphemy.
Boston Red Sox. It was good grief.
Huh? Kurt Schilling.
Kurt Schilling.
Thank you. Sorry.
Good night.
But
you
mean,
take
Kurt,
that back?
I do. I take it. I recant. Okay. If Kurt Schilling can pitch with a
bloody sock.
That was heroic. You know, I know this is not a sports show, folks. So those of you are, I'll just say this one thing. But I've looked for a photo of that, of him on the mound with that bloody sock, because it's so heroic. I want to make it like my computer screen wallpaper.
Oh.
Every once in a while, throw that into the rotation because it was just.
Yeah, it was iconic.
It was.
No doubt about it. Kurt Schilling. Red Sox had not won anything ever as far as World Series go. And here this guy is giving it everything, including a bloody sock, just to be able to win. All right, you're listening to today's issues. What's your first story without.
Without a sports record.
Without us trying to decide about
the sports. You guys remember earlier this year when they had a bunch of UFOs they thought they didn't know what they were flying over New Jersey and people were freaking out?
Yes, we talked about it here.
Yeah. No one knew what they were and they seemed to disappear and
people were freaking out.
Totally freaking out. We later found out the government said it's not – a UFO, but they didn't elaborate. Well, we found out now there was a conference at Fort Rucker in August, and apparently there was a private company that was contracted to do some work with drones. And they didn't name the company in this article. They didn't make public who they were, but they said that they had an unconventional appearance, these drones did, so that when they turned sideways, they seemed to disappear. But they were taking credit for.
You remember this, Ray? It was drones every night up in New Jersey.
Really? Well, look, if I'd been living in New Jersey, I'd be freaking out, too, to see this stuff flying, disappearing. What's going on?
And I did note that this company didn't try this in the South.
right.
Now you're joking, but they probably had that in mind. Well, New Jersey, the number of people who are given the right, quote unquote, to own a gun, but you do that down here with Bubba, Bubba and his best friend Bubba.
That's right. You're gonna lose some drones right there. That's right.
And were these not manned?
Unmanned.
Oh, they're unmanned.
They were unmanned. All right. Yeah. So.
Because that would be bad. Manned drones.
I don't think they're called drones if they're manned. They're called helicopters.
Well, I thought this company drones. I thought this company had them. But
But we got a meteor out there running around our solar system that's. We don't know what's going on. Am I right?
31 Atlas are calling it. And
tell people what we're talking about who haven't been paying attention.
There is what most astronomers say is a comet that is entering our atmosphere. As comets do, they kind of come into the solar system. They usually slingshot around our sun and then move away. And
that was a great description.
Thank you.
Of a comet.
And but there's some question. There's one particular guy in particular. His name is Orbeth.
Macbeth.
Obeth. O B E R T H. Oberth.
He's from Harvard, right?
No. It's the Oberth. His Avi Loeb.
Yeah,
Avi L O E B.
Loeb is the guy from Harvard.
Yeah. The Orbeth is the effect that get the slingshot thing. But yeah, he said that it might be a mothership, a UFO with little green men. And he said,
"Did you say little green men?" Or
you didn't say little green men, but that's the way I say
a mothership.
Extraterrestrial.
Come on, Ed.
You know I'm jumping in here. It is not an alien mothership. And really, the number of people who are believing this, the government has already said, I just like saying that, NASA has already said, I've read actual, a lot of other physicists said, there is some unique signatures on this Atlas, 31 Atlas, but this is a comet. This is a meteor
regular
asteroid. It's regular.
Run-of-your-mill garden variety.
It is. But I'm telling you, there's something in the water in our country, because on social media, there are people who are living in abject fear that we're about to be visited by aliens, conquered by aliens, what have you. And this is just another one of the things where people are just freaking out. People just need Jesus. They just need to have, a peace about the future. But people are lit up about this.
I don't understand why people are lit up about this particular one when we've literally had congressional hearings on UFOs that people are claiming, pilots in the Air Force are claiming, are doing extraterrestrial things.
Yeah, but is this the rectangular comet?
Yeah.
It's
symmetric, isn't it?
Yeah, you mean this so-called.
So-called comet.
Your suspicion,
it's hiding on the other side of the sun.
It's been behind the sun now. You've heard of the dark side of the moon.
That's right.
Now you got
it's going to come slingshotting out.
Well, this Avi Loeb says.
Who does?
This Harvard physicist.
Okay.
He said that would be a perfect opportunity for a mothership to release drones to come and check us out.
Yeah.
But to Steve's point, all these congressional hearings and stuff are adding to the paranoia on the part of people. We kind of have these periodically where you have these UFO flaps, and I remember them in the 60s and 70s, where you'd have this cluster of sightings, and then people would start to worry about, is this the end of the world? It's war of the world.
Then you got the interviews from the people out in the country.
Yes.
Remember those interviews?
Oh, yeah.
And every once in a while you get one that was
up on a ship.
Yeah. And, and things were done to me.
things I can't talk about.
Unspeakable things.
Unspeakable things were done to me.
I just want to ask them, what were they? Did they benefit you, though? Was it help in your life?
Was when it a healthy, got off the ship, like a healthy you?
Yeah, did it, you know,
are you a better person?
Are you a better person for going through,
How has
this
that
experience?
Changed your life?
But you know what? I'm not getting into explanations because every time I go down that road, Tim mocks.
I don't mean to.
Oh, it's mockery. And I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm not falling into that trap.
I think we can all agree that E.T. was a great movie, though. Can we not?
It was.
I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Nothing blew up.
Okay.
There's no people.
But he got the phone home.
Yeah, he got the phone home.
Phone home.
That's just, just encourage kids to make friends with strange-looking beings that appear in their bedrooms.
Yeah.
That's what
Tell
I didn't like.
Tell them that the week before Halloween, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So next
what
time.
What was that other sci-fi movie that we that most of
close,
us watched?
Close Encounters?
Yeah, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
Richard Dreyfuss? Wasn't it Richard Dreyfuss?
He was the actor.
And didn't it have something to do with that iconic mountain out in Utah or something?
Devil's Mountain or something?
Anybody know what the first two kinds are?
Yeah.
Yes. First kind is a sighting.
Right.
Okay. And then the second kind is
like a sighting
up close, I think. Third kind is when you have a visitation or you cross paths with an alien.
Right.
Fourth kind is an abduction.
Right.
And then a fifth kind, I think, is the probe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew that was
We're going to stop right
something,
there.
Something like that. I think I got those right.
That's right.
Probing question, though.
Again, right. This so-called comet.
Yep. We'll see. So when is the comet supposed to fly out from behind the sun?
It's going to take a couple days.
It's in November sometime.
Okay. It's got a week or so.
And that's why they say that also you'll know because if it changes like velocity or trajectory, they'll know when it comes out from behind
the sun. All right, next, we got 3 minutes, Steve. What do you got?
All right. I want to close the books, tie a bow around the No Kings protest, and have a listen to Baya Ungar Sargon.
Easy for you.
We've already had a Zoran Mondami on
we
today.
We have.
So now we're going with who?
Batya Ungar Sargon, who is a commentator, kind of an honest liberal commentator.
All right.
She was on CNN, and this is what she had to say about the No Kings protest.
These protests were overwhelmingly white. They were overwhelmingly elderly people, older people. Now, again, you know, white boomers have the right to have a mass therapy session about the fact that Donald Trump won. But to call it a No Kings protest, to act like he is a king, is so utterly preposterous. This is a man who won the popular vote. He won every swing state. He is a person who is enacting the exact agenda he promised he was going to enact while he was campaigning. And so what they are actually protesting is the absolute perfection of American democracy, where a person campaigned on an agenda, won the popular vote, and is now enacting that agenda. So it was actually a protest of democracy.
That's pretty outstanding, Democrats. She just bingoed. Yes. I can live... and get along with honest liberals. Okay? I don't even like hypocritical conservatives. Let's just tell it the way it is. It's the truth.
What was her name again?
Batya Ungar Sargon.
Yeah. How do you go home and tell your mom this is who you're taking out? Hey, who are you going to prom with, huh? Going to prom with
Batya Ungar Sargon.
Yeah,
Sargon.
All right.
Yeah.
Sargon the Second. How about that? That's a Syrian name.
All right, we're glad we got some real news after talking about baseball and aliens. We're out of time, and it's probably a good thing. Okay, and we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.